Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, and welcome once again to History Dweebs. I am Tim, and today's podcast is called The Man in the Attic, a story of lust and murder.
Murder.
Yeah, the story of Otto Stanhuber. A very strange story that took place in the early 20th century in Milwaukee and in Los Angeles. A lot of sex and violence in this one, and I know that's sweet. We always love sex and violence.
That's kind of our bailiwick.
It is. But before we get started, let me introduce our panel. I'm joined by the very lovely and talented Queen of Mean, the Mistress of the Macabre, the Empress of Evil, and Satan's Dirty Little Secret, Brandy. How are you today, Brandy?
Hi, Timmy. I'm good. How are you?
Wow, you little Miss
what
Sunshine.
What the fuck is that?
Little Miss Sunshine.
Yeah. Jesus. Sweet Jesus, Jack. And like
goodness.
A human being.
Speaking of Jesus, let me introduce...
What? No, that's not a segue.
Let me introduce a man of high esteem, a man who is well thought of, of course, throughout the podcasting industry. He's really the pulse of the podcasting industry.
The Walter Cronkite of podcasting.
He really is. He's the
Brian Williams of podcasting.
He's the most trusted man in podcasting today. The very honorable, the Reverend, Sir, I guess you're knighted. I forgot you were knighted. Sir Reverend Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawkwaters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
I couldn't be better, Timmy. Couldn't be better. I got to tell you, I had a person send me a message on Facebook. Mm-hmm. They are currently a member of the Colonel's Church. Mm-hmm. And this man said to me, he said, you know, Colonel, before I found you, before I found the path to righteousness,
Jesus,
I could have been on one of your podcasts. I could have been the subject of one of your podcasts because there was evil in me, Colonel.
So you helped him see the light.
I helped. Well, and I said, well, what are you going to do about that evil? And he said, I don't know what to do about that evil. Mm-hmm. And I said, here's what you do, son. Send me $14.95.
Only $14.95.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he sent us $14.95 through PayPal. Mm-hmm. And you know what he is right now?
What?
An outstanding citizen.
$14.95.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
$14.95 in the hole. That's what he is right now.
Well, Colonel, I mean, you're almost a saint. I'm sure once you die, they're going to fast track you to sainthood.
I'm a humble man, Timmy. You know that.
Oh, wow, yeah.
I'm a humble man, and I have a. You can check out the page. We have a menu of services. Mm-hmm. If you need me to pray for an illness, mm-hmm. If you just want my thoughts or prayers,
would you pray for an illness for me?
I could pray.
Will
for
you pray?
An illness,
will
please?
You pray for you to get an illness?
Laryngitis.
See, I
scurvy.
I could see, and you know, Devil, you don't know this, but a listener anonymously, when I did my 2-for-1, put you on the save chain.
Oh, I think that's sweet, but really unnecessary.
But the problem is, now, don't forget, listener, that expires after 1 month. You can't send me another $14.95.
Well, yeah.
And after this month, it's only for, you know, you didn't lock it in for lifetime. Yeah, it's just month to month. I mean,
well, what about after they pass? Do they need to make arrangements so that you continue to get paid, or do they get kicked out of heaven?
No, we don't. You know, we expect.
You don't expect post-mortem payments.
It would not hurt to be named in your estate. Mm-hmm. I mean, many people, you know, that's how they show their appreciation.
So if Alicia and Chip wanted to leave everything, their earthly possessions to you, you're okay with that?
I would invest them wisely. Uh-huh. I would take care of them. Mm-hmm. Yes, I would. We are only, as we stand, about roughly $65,000 short of the colonel getting
a $5,000 goal.
$65,000 of the colonel getting his Porsche Boxster.
Okay.
So
keep those donations. That's what you needed.
Well, I was laying in bed, and that's what Jesus said.
I'm telling you,
he came to me and said Porsche Boxster, and yeah. I was like, well, there we go.
Do you have any shout outs, Colonel?
Well, I got who I did the last show. We got Trish Hillard. Mm-hmm. Always lovely to see her show up on the page. Cindy Lou, I believe she's in California.
Mm-hmm.
Allie, your crazy ass Australian woman. Kim, your redheaded devil. Scott, and let's see, who do we miss? Jennifer?
Your mom.
Bert. Oh, that was rude.
Devil. His mother's rude. Dead.
Yeah. Everybody knows, Jesus.
God rest her soul. Jennifer Burdick and Shannon Rossett, all Team Colonel people.
Okay.
Why do you just give shout outs to Team Colonel people?
Yeah, I think that's a little biased.
Because you guys are
rude is what it is.
And
no, I give shout outs to members of all other teams and those who are unaffiliated, like Gene, Larry, Michael, Sydney, Bert, Kristen, Kirsty, Tara, Nicola, M, Bree, Erica, Ryan, Celine, Tiffany, Deanna, Lydia, Jim Martin, and Elise.
Now, are we going to inform our listeners what we're attempting to do here? It's never really been, I don't know that it's been done in the podcast world.
What are we attempting to do?
Yeah. Clue us in.
Yeah, please. Oh, we're not ready to disclose that yet.
Not ready to disclose? Okay.
Okay. Brandy, you have any shout-outs?
You know, all my people, all my listeners know, all of our listeners know that I appreciate them.
You're just too damn lazy.
You forgot about Lady Beverly.
No, I wasn't done yet. After all the shout-outs are done, we got Lady Beverly,
mm-hmm.
and we got Dottie.
Okay.
So, Lady Beverly and Dottie.
But what about your own, your solo penis, Randy, on your team?
Michael. Yeah.
Michael, yeah. You're weak.
He knows. He's not weak.
No. Yes.
Michael's a good man.
Leave him alone. He got scared of the vagina vigilantes, and he signed up on your team.
Yeah, Michael's a good guy.
He is a good guy.
All right. So, shall we get into the story? Shall we?
If you want to, that's what we're sitting here for.
Okay,
be all day.
I'm going to take you back to 1903.
Oh, that's my God.
In a land far, far away?
So before they had tiny houses.
This is a land far, far away called Milwaukee.
Ooh, a foreign land.
Yes. We're a land of cheese.
Wine and cheese.
So in 1903, there was a couple named, the lady's name was Dolly. And
Madison.
No.
Oh.
And her husband's name was Fred, and their last name was A-Strike. Now, it's not spelled this way. That's how it's pronounced. It's spelled O-E-S-T-E-R-R-E-I-C-H.
That's horrible.
But it's pronounced A-Strike. It's German.
Ostrich.
Close.
Like ostrich.
So in 1903, this young couple had been married, you know, several years. And they lived and resided in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, in the Midwest part of the United States.
Home of?
The Range.
The Brewers, Milwaukee Brewers.
No, one of the most famous serial killers ever.
Jeffrey Dahmer, yeah. But this was a little bit before his time. But anyway, the couple resided in Milwaukee. Both were primarily of German descent, like most people in the city at that time, like most people here in Cincinnati would have been in the early 20th century. They were both blonde and tended toward the plumpness side, Colonel.
Well, so they were blonde and chunky.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah,
chunky monkey.
But most I like me a chunky woman, Timmy.
I think the PC term is thick. The PC term is thick.
I mean, I like, you know what? I like thin women, medium women, chunky women.
So you just like women?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Too bad they don't like you.
Yeah.
No.
It's unfortunate.
Mrs. Colonel is...
No, she is... She's 50% at best.
Yeah, on a good night.
So, by most accounts, this couple was only a few years apart in age. Fred A. Strike was 40 years old, and Dolly Air Strike, his wife, was 36. So, what happens when you get about 36, Colonel?
To Dolly?
Yeah.
Well, she a little thing that would appear to be just maybe a raised bump like a pimple.
Well, remember, people didn't live that long back in life expectancy. So,
yeah, what she could expect in 4 years was a growth of a penis.
Yes. So they lived together.
In sin.
No, they were married. Fred was known to be iron-willed and tight-fisted, so he was a spendthrift.
Was chunky and cheap.
The word tight-fisted.
Right. I bet you don't.
I don't like the word tight-fisted.
It's like some chills up your spine.
It does. It
makes his butthole clench.
It does.
So for 15 years, they were married, and... the only selling point that really attracted Fred to Dolly was the fact that Fred was wealthy.
That attracted Fred to Dolly?
No, Dolly to Fred, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Dolly liked Fred mostly because he was wealthy. He owned an apron factory in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Oh, making money hand over fist.
Oh, yeah.
But because,
back then, that's when the women came home. You come home, the woman had the apron, the pearls, the high heels. She freshened herself up. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like...
Is that what your mother did?
What is wrong with you and my mother?
His mother's deceased. She died of the cancer.
Have you no decency?
Oh, my God, long ago.
Have you no decency? That's all I'm asking.
I have plenty.
What kind of person continuously mocks a dead mother? Why don't you just go mock a dead... you know what I believe? Around here, why don't you follow the SPCA truck around, look for a run-over puppy. You'll probably get some giggles out of that, too.
You are not going to take the moral high ground here.
Oh, I am. You talked about my mama.
Your deceased mother. God bless her soul.
Whatever.
Yeah. So anyway, Fred owns this apron factory up there in Milwaukee, and he's married to
Dolly.
And every time that she would come into the room. What would he say?
Hello, Dolly.
Got it.
Hello, Dolly.
Okay, that was bad.
Oh no, I was thinking of something.
Okay, so he owned the apron factory. He would hound his. He had 60 seamstresses that worked for him. And he would hound them to work faster.
Were they Vietnamese?
No, probably not.
What's wrong with you, racist devil?
Probably, I'm guessing that they were mostly German or Irish, maybe, at the turn of the century. That's a guess.
Then it was probably plum.
He likes
anyway, he pinched pennies, and he drove his employees hard. He worked them hard. As a result of he was bad cop, she was kind of good cop. So she'd come along after he'd berate his employees and kind of, you know, smooth things over, hug him, whatever. She didn't relish that role, and she lived a rather lonely life. It's sort of like that. What's that Eagles song where the...
Lion Eyes?
Yeah, Lion Eyes. She was, she was living with the rich old man whose hands was cold as ice.
Whatever.
He was only 4 years older than she was. I'm sure she wasn't no bargain at 36 either. But anyway, they had some marital problems of a sexual nature, Colonel.
There was no Cialis.
Well, you know what? They needed... The colonel's intervention now.
Nope.
What is your invention?
My intervention.
Oh, your intervention.
My intervention. A lot of times, because a lot of times what people don't get is their sexual problems. Now, it could have been she was a nymphomaniac, because a lot of women, roughly 45% of women.
Wow, 45%?
Are nymphomaniacs. And here's your problem, Timmy.
It's a little high.
You got 45% of your women are nymphomaniacs.
This is scientific.
Oh, yeah.
52% of your women are frigid. So they're not going to enjoy sex, period, 52%. 45 want it all the time. Mm-hmm. You only got 3% of the women who are normal, mm-hmm. okay? So you're always going to have sexual problems in a marriage. So you come to the colonel. I try to assess the situation.
Sure.
Is she a nymphomaniac? Is she frigid? Is she normal?
I see. So you do like a Myers-Briggs type of assessment.
And most of the time what I find, it's the woman's fault.
Oh, yeah.
It's a woman's fault. Okay. It's either that they want it way too much, or they just don't have the hot bone, and they're never going to enjoy it.
Well, or they want it for a long period of time. They want it for 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, it just...
No, they don't.
Somebody wants that. Some of their demands won't become ridiculous.
Nobody wants that. Nobody wants 15, 20 minutes. We got shit to do. I need to go to sleep. I need to watch, you know, Letterman or whatever is on... Nobody needs
she's
that.
She's in the 52%.
Nobody needs that.
Apparently, it's been a long time since she had sex, since Letterman has been off for 5 years.
Whatever. Who's on? Jimmy Fallon.
All right. So anyway, Dolly appeared to crave sex quite often, Colonel.
And
Fred, you know, he didn't show much interest in it. So, as you know, sometimes when you get in a situation like that, the woman, being the harlot, she strayed. And she started seeking sexual satisfaction through affairs, extramarital affairs, Colonel.
Oh, the seedy little hoe.
Yeah. They were all short-term because she didn't meet a man who could meet all of her needs, but she was...
Who can? She needs to suck that shit up.
One day, Dolly was at the factory.
Good Lord.
There in the apron factory there in Milwaukee. She was observing some of the laborers, some of the employees, when she saw a young man, a handsome young man, a blue-eyed, short and slightly built young man, name of Otto Sanhuber.
So Otto was short.
Otto, spelled backwards, is Otto.
Get the fuck out of here.
Just saying. So she was quite taken with young Otto. Even though she was 20 years his senior.
Was he just the right height?
Must have been. Well, it just so happens that back home in her abode, she was having some problems with her Singer sewing machine. And she needed it repaired.
Who are you going to call?
Well, she called her husband, and she asked him if she could send over Otto Sanhuber, the young man that she saw at the factory, to fix her machine. Now, young Otto, he didn't even know exactly how old he was. He thought he was 16 or 17, but he wasn't sure.
Oh, Jesus.
He thought he was a German-Jewish extraction, but again, he wasn't sure. He was an orphan. But he was adopted by a family named Sanhuber, so that's why he took that last name. Now, it should have come as no surprise in 1913, when Dolly needed help with her sewing machine, she called for a repairman. That fact that she asked for this young man specifically should have raised some eyebrows with her husband.
It should have caused some suspicion, yeah.
It did not, because Fred was a trusting man.
Although maybe he was just a good, because I know Renee, our washing machine breaks a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It breaks all the time. And Renee uses the same company and asks for the same guy every time. Mm-hmm. Mrs. Colonel insists that it be this young man, and he apparently fixes. Now, he's not apparently not a great machine washer fixer.
Maybe he's a plumber.
It seems to break every couple weeks. And I finally told her. The missus understands how important my job is.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I finally told her I am not taking off work to meet this repairman.
Right.
And she's, you know, being that she understands the importance of a man's job, mm-hmm. she will stay home each time and meet this man and make sure that the washer begins. But I keep telling her, make sure he fixes the damn washer right this time.
He's a plumber.
Because she recognizes your role as the breadwinner in a family.
Exactly. And the importance of my job. So yeah. she is the one who's staying home. And I think the last time it took him like 4 hours or something. That was just to adjust a lid or some wow. stuff. I know. He's not very skilled.
Yeah, it didn't
he's
sound
not very
like
skilled.
It.
But I think she feels...
Do you have an attic at home by any chance?
I think she feels sorry for him. I do have an attic, but I think she feels sorry for him, too.
Yeah, well... So anyway, Fred sends Otto over to Dolly, over to the house to fix the sewing machine. Dolly answered the door wearing only a robe and slippers.
Oh, whore.
She showed him to her bedroom where she kept her
sewing machine.
She kept her singer. And while he worked on the sewing machine, she lounged on the bed and kept adjusting her robe.
Well,
Dolly brushed her hair as Otto was tightening her belts.
Uh-huh. Now, see, that's why I don't worry about the missus with the washing machine guy. Mm-hmm. Because when he is coming over, she always has herself very professionally dressed mm-hmm. in a skirt, got her hair done, got her makeup done. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, she's not like Dolly.
Yeah.
No.
Now, while he's working on this, Dolly lifts her leg.
Oh.
Oh.
Why Otto greased the shuttle shaft.
There it is.
Dolly's robe
is
felt...
Is that a euphemism?
No. That's part
shuttle
of the,
shaft?
That's part of a sewing machine.
Just part
shuttle
of the story.
Okay.
Dolly's robe fell open.
You can't make this shit up.
Oh, that's quite the shuttle shaft you got there, young man.
So that thus began the affair between young Otto and the wealthy... married woman Dolly Ace Strike. Okay, so they began to make love, and they made love. According to Otto, they made love 8 times a day.
Jesus Christ. She was a nymphomaniac.
Well, she was, you know, she was 31.
Yeah, but he was a young, yeah. He's a young kid too. How many times?
Yeah, he's 17.
Yeah,
yeah, that was a good.
Well, he can do it 8 times in 12 minutes.
Sure.
Yeah, it was a good fit because they were both at their sexual peak. Because she was like 32 and he was like 31.
He was 30.
No, she was 31. He was like 17.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So they begin meeting secretly in their home. He would come by during the day when Fred was at work. And no neighbor started to notice the young man going in and out of the home. Now, she tried to play it off as he was a salesman or whatever, but a nosy neighbor began noticing the frequency of his visits.
Hating bitches.
Yeah, well, she told Fred, and Fred confronted Dolly about it. Now, Dolly calmly replied that it was a book salesman, and that he was trying to get her to buy some books, pestering her to buy some books. Because, you know, back in the day, you'd buy those
encyclopedias.
Yeah, and you'd
one
buy
at a time.
One at a time.
Mm-hmm. Hold on. Devil, an encyclopedia is a
really?
Series of books that used to, yeah.
Like it go from A to C?
Yeah.
Indeed.
So if you wanted to look up something on Bolivia, you would go to the encyclopedia.
Under B.
It's kind of like Internet Google now. You could look up
What if
things.
I wanted to look up dismemberment?
Then you'd have to go to the second edition.
How do you rip somebody's tongue out while leaving their face intact?
See,
where do I look that up?
That's back when you had to think. That's back when you had to actually...
She has a bit of an anger problem.
Yeah, you got an issue.
I started out chipper. You guys
Rudy,
didn't like that?
This is what we're talking about, Rudy, and I don't want to diagnose this as borderline personality disorder, but a doctor could.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah, easily. So Dolly, you know, she told her husband it was a book salesman, and he bought it. Maybe he just wanted to believe it, but whatever. She knew that her and Otto needed a better place for the rendezvous. So They started meeting. They first started meeting at Otto's. Otto's.
AutoZone.
They started meeting at Otto's apartment, but it was kind of dingy, and she didn't, you know, she didn't like it. So they started going to hotels. Well, that got expensive, and plus, she was afraid that people would see them going in and out of a hotel. So she came up with a plan, and it was actually a pretty smart plan.
Was it a master plan?
It really was. She suggested that instead of meeting in hotels or at Otto's place, that Otto should just move into the attic at her house.
It's genius. What could go wrong?
Go ahead.
I got an attic.
That's what I'm saying. You need to check an attic from time to time, girl.
I think I got raccoons, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So she proposed that Otto move into the attic where he could be there all the time. And Otto was in love with her, so he never had been with a woman before. So Hay thought, hey, I'll get some free room and board. It also meant that he would...
Get laid on demand,
be close to the woman he loved at all times. And he could quit his job as a repairman that he didn't like anyway. So it sounded like a good deal for young Otto.
He had long dreamed of being a writer. And this arrangement would give him the time he needed to work on that skill. But wouldn't you hear the typewriter going?
I think he probably
used a pencil.
Yeah, he's probably writing longhand at that point.
Well, I mean, how you sharpen that shit?
He probably had a pocket knife.
Hey, people.
Don't you? Women don't know nothing. You see, if you were left out naked and afraid, you wouldn't survive for 10 minutes.
You know what?
You would struggle.
Let me tell you something.
Don't point that thing at me.
She's got her phallic pin in her hand.
No, let me tell you something. Because I just had this conversation earlier.
Yeah.
And it was all about, we started talking about tiny houses. And I hate people who live in tiny houses. Dave is
throw stones.
No. Well, no, those are glass houses. But Dave is like completely addicted to HGTV. And there's a show on there, it's Tiny Houses. And these people think they're so much better than everybody else because they bathe in their own piss and live off the land. And, you know, if you don't want to leave a carbon footprint, then just kill yourself now, because that way you won't leave carbon footprint. But shut the fuck up about your little bitty house, because it's stupid and it's on a trailer. Anyway.
From time to time, I've wallowed in my own filth.
But anyway.
Just saying. Occasionally.
You seem to have a strong opinion on small houses.
Oh, I hate them bitches. I hate them motherfuckers that live in a small house. I think they're assholes. But my point is this. That, you know, I don't need to know all these things. God put me on this earth in 2016, so I don't have to travel by covered wagon. I don't have to wear those long skirts with bloomers and a head thing and whatever else. I don't have to do those things. God put me here during this time. I know plenty of shit. I don't need to survive during the apocalypse yet. If that ever comes about, then I will adapt. But until that day, I don't need to know how to sharpen a pencil with a knife. I don't need to know that shit, because I have a sharpener, and I have a computer, and I have all of the things that I need. So I don't need to know that shit.
Well, I'm just telling you.
God put me on this earth at this time.
Well, the only question I have is, what the hell does this have to do with our story?
Yeah, would you quit going down a rabbit hole?
No, he said, women don't know nothing can survive the zombie apocalypse, blah, blah. I don't have to. You know what I have to do? Kill you, and you have all the shit that I will need.
Well,
what do you think about that, grasshopper? I will rip your windpipe out with my throat, with my jaws.
Now, again, further proof, Rudy, that she's off her meds.
Not off my meds. So, anywho, Dilly.
Well, you certainly need them adjusted.
Do you want to continue with the story, or is there something else you hate?
Yeah.
I mean, the people that, I don't know.
You want to continue with the story, or should we take you out to this psych emergency room?
Be a nice little vacation, wouldn't it?
We put you in a straight
Jesus
jacket.
Jesus Christ.
I know. I've never seen such...
Do you have anything to do with tiny houses?
No, I said it's a conversation we were having earlier.
I have a
four-bedroom
house. I don't know what the problem is with me.
And let me tell the two of you something. I get off track one fucking time, and you two have something to say about it. Are you fucking kidding me right now? You can't find a train of thought. You can't board a train of thought if it was a Union Terminal. You couldn't find a train of thought. And you over there, once you get on a train of thought,
what are you talking about?
You fucking can't pronounce half the shit you're trying to spit out. I'm a hit. I'm done. So.
Christ.
So
I'm afraid.
Can we go back?
What?
Can we go back to Otto, please?
This son of a bitch wants to be a writer.
Otto.
I know. He wants to be a writer. And
Why didn't I hear the son of a typewriter?
That's what I'm saying. Why didn't he have a typewriter? Seems stupid. All right, so the attic. She did clean up the attic.
So Otto was living in a little house.
Yeah, he was living in a little fucking attic. She cleaned up the attic and furnished it with an oil lamp, a comfortable mattress, and a piss pot. What more do you need?
Not piss pot. What's it?
Chamber pot.
Chamber pot.
Which is like a piss pot.
Yeah.
Only you can poop in it.
Ooh.
But then where do you dump it?
Well,
if it's a particularly nasty one, where do you dump it?
You can't just
go down anytime.
No, you have to wait till the.
So in the meantime, you got to sit up there and smell your own nastiness.
Now this is a window. You could throw it out the window.
Ew.
This is a true story. My uncle was a Baptist minister. And
who the fuck cares? Is he dead? He's dead, story. Isn't he?
Lived in Goshen, Ohio.
Uh-huh.
And we used to spend about a month or so every summer out at his house.
Okay.
Now, he believed, he's one of those, they literally made their own butter, their own yogurt.
Did he use a chamber pot?
They churned. That's what I'm getting.
That's gross.
They used.
A chamber pot?
They had milk. The milk they got was from the goat.
Uh-huh.
They had goats. They milked the goats. They used them. The only running water they had was cold water coming to the inside.
Mm-hmm.
You had a chair that had a big. And what they actually used was a 5-gallon.
You're fascinated by this
5-gallon bucket.
You're fucking fascinated by it, aren't you?
And me and my cousin, every day, our job was to take this chamber, this amount of waste, out to the.
How was that your job?
Creek and dump it in there.
He's qualified.
Well, first of all, he acts like he grew up on Little House on the Prairie.
And this was like, I'm not lying, it was like Little House on the Prairie. And you went out.
Chuck
to,
had to take a horse to get there.
But the thing that you don't realize, you're carrying it, and you got to be very careful that you don't start creating splashes and waves. You got to walk very carefully, because if that stuff gets on your shoes, it never comes off.
Yeah.
You know, you get that foul mixture of porta potty mix, and
yeah, because you got urine and excrement all combined.
From the time I was 8.
Do they have a chamber pot for urine and a chamber pot for excrement, or they're both?
No, it was one. It was a chair that had.
They have a men's chamber pot and a women's chamber pot.
Nope. See, I'm not kidding you. It was a chair that you sat down on and stood up and. It was like a porta potty that had a pile underneath it, and every night me and Jeff, my cousin, would have to dump that stuff down in the creek.
Yeah.
And it was and the crazy thing is,
did you date Laura Ingalls?
I thought there was nothing peculiar about this.
Yeah.
I mean, you're young, you don't think anything of it. You know, you don't think anything peculiar. But that's a true story.
I bet you're more of a Nelly guy. You dated Nelly.
He said that's a true story.
That's a true story. True story.
Continue, Brandy. Please.
Yeah, Laura Ingalls.
I know.
We're trying to stay on topic.
You weren't even close. So he's got a mattress, a lamp, and a chamber pot. Okay. What more do you need?
A pencil and paper if you're going to be a writer.
Well,
paper,
it doesn't say that she furnished him with that. I have three things here.
Well, good. Continue.
And clearly, obviously he had a curtain that was thus drawn and would be no more. There would be no more comings and goings. Yeah. None visible to the neighbors anyway.
Ah.
Sneaky, sneaky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, sucky, sucky.
Because that light goes on, and it's, you know how you got those little light finger puppets?
Yeah.
It'd be him.
Yeah.
Otto actually brought his own pencil and paper.
I bet Otto was hung.
And brought some reading material. Well, they hung a lamp from his dick while he was up there.
He got some reading material?
He did. He had reading material.
Reader's Digest.
He had a chamber pot. He had to have something.
He had to have something.
What are you going to do?
I think, and then he brought his own pencil and paper.
Mm-hmm.
During the day, Otto did household chores, swept the floors, dust, washed dishes, peeled vegetables, and performed various domestic duties.
Okay, so this bitch, she's got her husband owning the factory.
She's got a fucking live-in.
She's fucking the maid. This is what she's doing.
A live-in maid.
Wait a minute.
A live-in maid.
All I want to say is, I like her. She's got her shit. She knows. She's got her shit together.
She's got that pussy control.
She can go. She can go out and go gallivanting all over the countryside, nay, sleep with other people while this little sumbitch is home washing her dishes and her laundry and making her dinner. And then when she comes home, and which I'm sure she comes home before her husband, and then her husband comes home, and it's like a Christmas miracle. Look what I did today. Everything's all clean and nice.
It sounds like Otto's a kept man. He ought to be ashamed of himself.
Otto is her bitch.
He's a sex slave.
On nights when the, what do we call them, asterisks?
A-strikes. Yeah.
When the A-strikes went out as a couple, or Fred was out by himself, Otto could leave his room for some exercise.
Oh, well,
and I think, did we ever establish, was this like a stand-up attic, or was this more of a crawl space?
Because we don't know, but if he probably went out to get in his steps.
Mm-hmm. He might have gone out to get in his steps. Well, and I mean, surely you start to atrophy a little bit if you're just laying up there all day. So, anywho.
Well, he was working his ass off during the day.
Yeah. I know. Well, he's not gaining weight. So, Dolly put a padlock on the door to the attic and carried the key herself so Fred would not be able to slip up there. So, she's locked him in the attic.
That's what I mean. If Fred couldn't slip up there, and he couldn't slip out.
I mean, it's probably hotter than Satan's outhouse up there with his nasty shit pot.
Probably didn't have air conditioning.
I would bet not. Yeah. They'd did not, So her husband asked about the padlock, and she easily replied, I want to keep my furs in a safe place.
It's probably cold as hell in the wintertime, too, because that was in Wisconsin.
Yeah. Dolly had duties at the factory. Duties at the factory was not home most days. However, she pretended to be ill often enough that Otto and she could enjoy their relationship.
She's feeling a little faint.
But there was a distinct disadvantage to this little arrangement.
What was it?
Well, Otto was now living directly above his lover and her husband.
Yeah, Otto was in love.
So he could see them doing it.
Oh.
Ooh. Otto had a glory hole?
Well, he needed to be extra careful when he moved around, lest he accidentally alert Fred to his presence.
Yeah, that wouldn't be good.
You think Otto was pulling one off when he would watch him do it?
He got really upset.
The position of the attic meant that Otto could hear the sounds of the woman he adored making love with her husband.
Oh.
While having sex, Dolly urged Fred not to be so noisy. She's trying to calm the fuck down. Simmer down. Yeah.
The guy in the attic might hear you.
Lover in the attic might hear you.
And when he asked why, she replied, oh, you never know who might hear us, and it would be embarrassing.
Yeah, well.
Well, so, yeah, whatever. After one night of such marital passion, a jealous Otto confronted Dolly. I don't know how. He's locked in the attic. What's he screaming at her through the ceiling?
Well, you know, he probably got out during the day.
He was up in the attic.
He was pissed off.
Yeah. This is like flowers in the attic is what this is here. She reminded him that she could not leave her husband since she had no saleable skills and no funds of her own.
And you're not bringing anything
in. He's not bringing anything to the table except his factor.
She had some saleable skills.
Oh, she did, but I don't think that she wanted to do that.
She had the magic
cooter. Yeah.
She had to stay married.
Yeah.
And that meant she had to have sex with Fred.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? Otto eventually...
It's a mathematical problem, really.
It's a conundrum.
It is.
Otto eventually agreed...
It's a pussy paradox.
It is a pussy paradox.
You know what
paradox.
She was, Timmy?
Huh?
She was torn between two lovers.
Feeling like a fool.
Yeah, and loving both of them?
Really against the rules.
Yeah.
For sure. Okay. So eventually...
There's like one person who'll get that reference.
I know, I got it, though. So eventually, this poor son of a bitch agreed not to harass her about her marital love making.
You know, some things you have to overlook. When you're married, you have to have one eye and one ear.
You know, I think the only thing to do is to say, you know what, I can live with that if you keep it off the... Fred no longer gets the dirty flower.
Oh, God.
Yeah, really.
Nobody gets the dirty flower. All right.
I think Otto was getting the dirty flower.
Well, Otto was getting something because he was hooked.
Yeah, he was in love.
So after about a year passed, when old Fred, what is it? A-strike?
A-strike.
He became troubled by odd noises.
Hmm.
He and his wife were in bed when he thought he heard something like a man clearing his throat.
So they're banging.
What if Otto got a cold? And he got
That's
a
what I'm thinking.
They're banging. And Fred is saying, take it, bitch. And they're going to
What if he did get a cold? I mean, that addict's cold.
Yeah.
What if he got the flu? What if he's nauseous?
What if he got the shits?
That's all bad.
He's got a chamber pot.
Yeah, but he's got to run back and forth to it.
So, but Dolly, well, he can't run back and forth. He has to crawl, or army crawl to it. Dolly convinced Fred that he was hearing things.
Fucking wacko.
Yeah. He also noticed that his cigars started disappearing.
I don't use cigars, stealing motherfucker.
But Dolly told him.
That's just crossing the line right there. That's crossing the line.
He's sitting there with his feet up on the man's sofa, with his feet up on the armoire, smoking his man's cigars.
Yeah. He didn't have time for that shit. He's got dinner to cook and a kitchen to clean. All right, so Dolly convinced him that she would occasionally smoke them.
Dolly
was smoking the cigars.
Okay.
Let's see. But when he asked her to join him in a smoke one evening, her face turned.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Pale and she started to choke. So she kind of fucked
up. I gotta quit this shit.
Right. One night when the Yes, when they were going out, Dolly made it a regular practice to release the trap door to the attic just before leaving. And Otto would listen for the sound of the couple closing their front door. As soon as he heard that, he'd run down the stairs and gorge himself on the hearty German food all three of them loved. Rye bread, cheeses, liverwurst, bologna, and anything else edible that happened to be in the house.
Well, yeah, because otherwise you can't eat it after 5 o'clock.
Well, it was like he was having a colonoscopy every day.
Yeah. Motherfucker's hungry. Fred was sometimes baffled when he looked at the food that had been left over from the previous day.
Yeah, he's thinking, Dolly's really packing it away.
He sat down at the table with his wife, and when he saw the small size of the roast before him, asked Dolly what happened to the meat.
Where's the beef?
He should be asking her that question in general. She managed to convince him that he'd eaten it the night before when he'd been drunk. Okay. He bought that.
So Fred's not the smartest man.
Something, my God. And although Otto lived an isolated life in confinement with no one but Dolly for company, in his imagination he freely roamed the balmy South Seas, where he enjoyed colorful adventures. Well, how the fuck do you know that? What the fuck?
He's a writer. He's using his imagination.
But how do you know that?
Oh, I know.
Maybe he's just writing down what he sees through the floorboards. He also got his fantasies down on paper while living in his attic home. He would hand these short stories to his married middle-aged girlfriend, who would type them up when she had time and Fred was not around. She mailed them to pulp magazines using a post office box for the correspondence. Like most writers, his first efforts were greeted with, fuck off slips.
Yeah, rejection letters.
But Otto was tenacious, and eventually a story of his was published in a little magazine. He began publishing fairly regularly to his own joy and that of his helpful sweetheart. For 3 years, they pulled the wool over Fred's eyes.
Motherfucker's
sweet Jesus.
It's better.
I'm sure. For 3 years, Otto slept above his mistress's marriage bed, slipping out of his hidden attic room by day to help Dolly with her housework, and once the dishes were done, to
pump her thread and spin her crank.
Oh, he's pumping her thread.
Was I thought I'd add a little flair to that.
I guess.
So those were euphemisms.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think they make any sense. Do you know what they mean?
Because he was working on her son.
No, I understand.
Yeah, yeah. He was pumping that thread.
What is pumping her... What, not? I'm sorry, I misspoke. Pumping her threadle.
Threadle.
And spin her crank.
He was pushing that camel through the eye of the needle.
I don't... What is a threadle? Let's start with that.
I think it's a Jewish thing.
Let's start with that over there. Saint Laurent.
Let's start with that. Do not question Robert Frost, okay?
No, I'm questioning Oscar De La Renta sitting over there with his seamstress skills. What is a threadle?
Fuck a final.
It's a part of the sewing machine. Where
is it?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. You can look it up.
But this motherfucker made his own clothes before.
Go ahead. All right. So
you couldn't just read it and move on.
Well, no, because this makes me happy right here. So, okay. So one evening, Fred was pottering in his garden.
Okay.
Or puttering. Either one you want.
Did it say pottering?
It does.
Yeah.
I just read what's written.
Yeah, I'll just do that.
And I did. And happened to look up right at the window of his attic.
Wait a minute. This is good. This
don't,
is a good check. This
don't
is
criticize good. His scripts.
Well, fuck, this, no, I don't want
this
to
This is a
that
good
shit.
Part. This is a good part. So I read that again.
So Fred looks up in his garden. He's in his garden.
I want to state I'm grateful for the script.
Yeah, thank you for the script, Timmy.
Wonderful.
Fred's in the garden, looks up.
He's pottering.
Pottering.
He's pottering. And he happens to look up in the attic window.
What does he see?
Well, first of all, Dolly had told him not to go near the window.
Told Otto.
But he disobeyed, which clearly means he's going to be punished. Mm-hmm. And the two men may have looked directly at each other for just a split second before Otto panicked and pulled back. Sounds like his sex life. God damn it, Fred. Yeah. How do you know he yelled, God damn it? I mean, this is quotes here. I had a whole fucking conversation. God damn it, he yelled. And he raced up to that. I knew somebody was up in that attic. I just saw something moving in the window. So Dolly, and since we're just making it up, Dolly said, simmer down now.
Simmer down now.
I will go up and look. Yeah. Keep your panties on. She can't follow her own advice. She's keeping panties on. Her husband said, no, I'll do it. She said, no, I got this.
Okay.
Settle down.
She insisted on being alone.
Well, sure. And when she came down, she expressed concern for her husband's mental condition.
So she's saying he's fucking bonkers.
What she said to him, in quotes, Fred, you've been working too hard at that factory. I got to make it a caring voice. That's what it says here. I have...
In a caring voice.
Yeah, I have notes.
Try your best.
Okay, I'm sorry. Fred, you've been working too hard at that factory. You're seeing things. Promise me you'll go to a doctor.
You know, I bet Dolly had to give more blowjobs than anybody in the world. Because you can pretty much do anything to a man. You can get anything by a man if it's followed by...
Now let me give you a blowjob.
If it's followed by, if Renee or Miss Colonel or whatever, men you out there, you married, and most of the vagina vigilante notice, when you're really stuck somewhere, you just start rubbing the crotch area and, let it lead into... You could say the earth was flat, and he'd be agreeing with you.
I'm just reading what's on the script.
You know what women do is like when you're laying in bed, then they rub their buttocks up against you.
And then they expect you not
give them money.
Yeah.
Or maybe their butt's cold.
Yeah, they still expect you to give them money.
They do expect you to give them money.
Well.
So she tells Fred.
She tells Fred he needs to go to the doctor. Fred says, I will. Because he did not want to give her any more cause to worry. So he goes to the doctor. And the doctor says... Well, and this is also in quotes, because evidently somebody
was
listening. Take things a little easier.
I took some notes.
First of all, I don't know how anything could be easier than Dolly. But take things a little easier.
Just calm down.
And he wrote out a prescription for a tranquilizer. Well, I don't know that doctor. Wrote out
a prescription for Xanax.
Yeah.
volume.
Just take this with a glass of bourbon. It'll be a fat city.
You'll never see another stranger.
That's right. So in 1918, Fred got the notion of, we're going to move that factory to Los Angeles.
Uh-oh.
Well, first of all, it's going to be warmer in fucking Wisconsin.
Yes.
So Dolly would agree to the move only...
If they bought a house with an attic.
Fred would buy a home with a convenient attic.
Oh, yeah, convenient.
She doesn't want to be inconvenienced.
She was claiming that she kept her furs in the attic and that she wanted him to protect
them. Wasn't he confused when her furs were down in the closet?
Only she was wearing her furs?
Yeah, I mean, she told Fred she wanted a secure place for her beloved furs. Prior to the couple moving, Dolly bought Otto a one-way ticket to Los Angeles. So Otto's going with him.
Well, he went before them, I think.
Well, but he is going to be...
Okay. Yeah, because it would have been awkward when the movie showed up. Right. What do you want me to do with the guy in the...
What should I do with this thing?
Hold on. Didn't Otto come with the house for the next buyers? Because that's what happened.
He's not Hugh Hefner.
I mean, Gary Hednick said... Hey, it was with the house.
That's right.
Yeah, that's what Dolly should have just said. When they got to Los Angeles, he was in their house.
I don't know.
No, I thought he was with you.
Hugh Hefner, part of the sale, he sold the Playboy Mansion, and part of the sale agreement was he got to live in the house. To somebody bought it.
Yeah.
So now Hugh is the weird guy in the attic in his robe smoking his pipe while these people with children are probably, you know, playing in the grotto. So Otto goes to L.A. Fred was able to set up his home. Oh, no, not Fred. Otto was able to set up his home in the attic before the couple moved in.
Okay, so he got settled.
Yeah, he's good. In the new residence, Otto was not directly above their bedroom, so he did not have to overhear them doing it.
That making the fornication sounds.
Yes.
You know, if you was up there, though, wouldn't you feel tempted just to start talking like,
Fred.
Oh no! You know what else you could do? Because you know there's little.
No, I'm talking about like Barry White.
Or do that thing. You know the thing where you spit and then suck it back up. All right, so. Fred, in turn, could not hear Otto clearing his throat or coughing. What could be better?
Which was good because Otto was smoking the shit out of his cigars.
Right.
And he had lung cancer.
Couldn't hear the oxygen tank up in the air. Yeah. So life was perfect for Dolly and Otto and Fred. As long as Fred never noticed how much it was costing him to feed and clothe one woman.
She ate a lot.
Well, their marriage...
She was plump.
She smoked lots of cigars.
She did. Their marriage continued to deteriorate.
Oh, shocking.
Yeah, Fred was a drinker.
Okay.
And he was by turns silent and depressed or loud and argumentative. However, the 7-year-old love affair between Dolly and Otto was still going strong.
7 years this motherfucker's living in their attic.
Well, for free.
Yeah.
At approximately age 24, Otto was sexually vigorous and he and Dolly were deeply in love.
Oh.
Aww. This is a love story. It's like a Shakespearean thing.
She's getting along in the tooth at this point. She should be pushing 40.
Okay. He was also enjoying some success as a writer, penning stories that appeared in various pulps and that earned him and Dolly a few extra dollars. So this motherfucker's Hemingway living in her attic.
And she's getting some of his money.
Yeah. Well, she is his agent. Yeah, she's his agent. Yeah. She does type him up.
Yeah.
So one late evening in 1918, a confrontation occurred.
Oh, what happened?
Well, the...
Well, wasn't Otto in the war?
I don't...
He was in the fucking attic.
Because he's in that... Nobody knows he exists. So the Asterix, or whatever the fuck their name are, they were out at a German beer party.
Okay.
Fred and Dolly got into an argument, and Fred went home in a huff. He took his ball and decided to go home. He went home early.
When you got a lover living in an attic, you can never let that happen.
Well, and he left his wife behind at a beer party.
Yeah.
Which I'm thinking is code for a swingers party or what?
Oh, yeah.
What were those called? Key party.
Key parties.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were at a key party.
Dolly got a banging that night.
So the aging factory worker strolled into the kitchen only to find a short, slim, very... Wait a minute. This is what I love. Picture it. Because if any of you have ever seen... that movie, oh shit, what's it called, where the people that live in those caves for all those years, like, they're all, like, slimy and white and translucent and... and I can't think of what they're called. But anyway, so he strolls in his kitchen only to find a short, slim, very pale man sitting at the table eating his leg of lamb.
So he walks in on Otto.
And I quote here, "What the hell are you doing in here in my house?" An outraged Fred.
Fair question.
An outraged Fred exclaimed as he grabbed Otto by the shoulders, because probably Otto was naked. I mean, let's
probably,
face it.
Probably, yeah.
He's got no reason to put clothes on.
No.
So Otto was taken aback. Who the fuck are you?
This is not what I call hospitality. Yeah.
And so Otto weakly replied, quote, "I'm hungry, sir." Well, that's what the fuck. I mean, yeah.
Well, that explains things.
Well, and what
more question?
And I say this next quote, and think of how many ways this applies to this story. "So you're the ones been eating all my meat," the homeowner shouted.
And he said, "No, that will be your wife, Trebek."
That's right, your mom. Yes, sir. The young man stuttered.
Oh, he stuttered.
Well, he was in shock. He was busted.
He was Sling Blade. So, but had some taters.
Tried tater.
Okay, so let's see. Fred didn't suspect that he was dealing with the occupant of his own house. So he tossed the guy onto the street. He just thought it was some old vagrant that wandered in from the cave.
Now, you motherfucker, I've been living here longer than you have. You can't toss me out of here.
Right. Let's see.
I got squatter's rights.
When Dolly came home, she probably does. When Dolly came home from the party, her husband related the strange story of the man eating in their kitchen.
Dolly told him to go to the doctor.
Never mind the fact that
it's more tranquilizers.
How do you keep your face from just going?
Dolly gave him another blowjob.
Right.
All forgotten.
Let's not think about him. All right. So Fred had not been He was taken aback, and he said, "I have not been imagining things after all. That rascal somehow has been sneaking into their home to forage through their food."
He's like a raccoon.
It's like a squirrel.
Yeah.
Otto had to spend the night on the street.
Well, that was quite inconvenient for Otto.
Poor Otto had to go find a bench.
Chamber pot that night.
He didn't have his writing utensils, I'm sure, or clothes, until Dolly could let him back in the house the next day when Fred went to the factory.
So fucking Fred doesn't even suspect Dolly at this point.
No, he's just rolling on. He doesn't care. So, other than those unsettling encounters, Otto and Dolly enjoyed a mutually satisfying relationship. Otto resumed his life of making love to Dolly and doing the housework during the day. He is so her bitch.
He is.
Since it was Prohibition, the couple also made bathtub gin.
Oh.
There's nothing better than toilet wine and bathtub gin.
If they ever make chamber pot gin.
I don't think you'd like that.
Yeah, I don't think.
It's a little chunky.
It's got a kick to it.
Yeah.
Got to pick that shit out of your teeth for weeks. At nights, he continued to read and to write short stories that she would type and send off to publishers.
He's quite the writer.
Well.
Prolific.
Let me tell you something. This happy scene unraveled.
We could have him write our scripts for us. Be careful.
It would be something, because I'm sure he's dead. The happy scene unraveled on the night of Tuesday, August 22nd, 1922.
What happened?
This was 4 years after they moved to L.A.
So he's 7 years in the house, 3 years in Milwaukee, and 4 years in L.A.
So the asshats had been out for the evening. Mm-hmm. And they were quarreling when they returned home.
Okay.
Quarreling, okay.
They were fighting.
Discord in the marriage. Yeah.
Otto heard the noisy fight while he was up in the attic minding his business. When he heard a loud thud and the sound of Dolly screaming. Otto thought Fred was beating Dolly, when actually she'd just slipped on a throw rug.
Oops.
Yeah.
My bad.
Yeah.
Ow.
He grabbed two 25 caliber guns and rushed downstairs. Why has he got two guns up there?
Yeah. Raccoons.
Yeah.
It is important to note at this point that Fred was never able to tell his version of the next events.
Right.
All we have are the words of Dolly and Otto, which I'm sure they're in quotes, and physical evidence. So what had happened was, Fred recognized Otto as the culprit he had found in his home before grazing on his leg of lamb. Not his wife's leg. His leg of lamb.
Right.
Flying into a rage, Fred tackled Otto.
This motherfucker's back in my house. What?
I'll tell you what, you take a raccoon, you take him 5 miles away and release him, and that son of a bitch will be right back in your yard the next day.
Well, and I can't imagine that Otto's muscle tone is that great. But
well, he didn't have nothing to do but push-ups and sit-ups, so maybe
he's true. He's like prison. Coming
he might
out
have
of
been
prison.
One of those wiry. He probably had little tattoos. Put his own tattoos
you know
all over him.
His own tattoos.
Yeah.
All right. Tattoo.
So, Fred went to choke Otto.
Probably thought he ate his lamb.
Well, and since this was a stout young man, that is the thing. We fat people care about our food. We don't like it when people come in and eat our food.
You can bang on wives, but don't eat my lamb, goddammit.
And I'm telling you, have you seen the price of a brisket? Son of a bitch. So, one or both guns went off, don't know which, and a panicked Otto pulled the trigger again. He just emptied the clip, shooting Fred a total of 3 times. So it was a small clip.
Mm-hmm. It was probably a revolver.
Yeah. I don't give a shit. And then that was it. Fred lay on the floor, living room floor. He was dead. Dolly.
It took a tragic turn.
It did take a tragic turn. And Dolly went into a panic.
As people are prone to do and when people get shot in their living room.
Yeah.
Well, especially when it's unexpected.
It's your spouse.
Yeah. Otto believed they could make it appear that burglars had intruded into the home and murdered the husband.
See, he's got a writer's mind. He's sharp.
Sharp little guy.
He's on it. So for once, Otto sacked up, laid down the law, and frightened Dolly complied.
You think he grabbed her by the shirt and slapped her once or twice and said, get your stuff together,
get your
woman.
Shit together. Otto divested Fred's corpse of the diamond studded chain watch.
Yeah, I was going to just say he stole the watch off of Fred, but then it didn't sound as good.
Yeah. And then locked...
You're turning into a real Thoreau over here.
Right.
Thank you.
And then locked Dolly in a closet. See how you like it, bitch.
There you go, bitch.
Tossed the key on the floor and scurried back upstairs to the attic. A neighbor had heard the shots and phoned the police, who arrived shortly. Fred, oh Fred, they heard Dolly... That's quotes. Fred, oh Fred, they heard Dolly tearfully crying from behind the closet door of the couple's bedroom.
And Otto was in the attic saying, Marco!
Yeah, right.
Polo!
Look in the living room. Let's see, the key to the closet was on the carpet a few feet from the door.
Well, the first one to arrive on the scene was Chief of Detectives Herman Klein. He took an immediate dislike to Dolly. She was too immaculately dressed and carefully made up for a woman of 55.
She was a painted lady.
In his rather old-fashioned opinion.
She needed to be what? In a house coat and slippers, cigarette hanging out, rollers in her hair?
Well, 55, she needed something to cover up that penis. She probably had a big bulge in her dress, but... And there were other things that made the police suspicious.
Like what?
Wait a minute, I don't like the first part.
What first part?
Because she's got her shit together, they're immediately suspicious.
A woman of 55 should be dressed like a woman of 55. Back in these days, 55 was old. You was an old woman.
I mean, nobody talked about Tammy Faye Baker, and that bitch was always made up.
I think people talked about her a lot.
First of all, I love her so much.
She's dead.
I know she is.
Got the cancer.
It was a bummer.
Colon cancer.
It's a bummer. But is Jim still floating around?
She had a bloody stool.
She did have a bloody stool.
Where's Jim?
I think he's still alive.
Jim should have gone.
Is he out of prison?
Yes.
Jim should have gone first.
Because he had another show.
Yeah, he's...
Oh, he did have another show, didn't he?
Mm-hmm. He's wormtastic. Oh, by the way, Bob Ross on Netflix. Speaking of dead
Bob
people
Ross?
That I love.
Netflix. Well, what other evidence did they have on...
Nothing.
Well, when questioned by the cops, Dolly insisted that the couple had never fought.
No.
Now, the police, most of them married, knew this was bullshit. Ain't nobody married, no fight. But they couldn't prove it.
Is that a quote?
Yeah. So, the chief and officers carefully inventoried the residence, and only one item could be identified as missing, the husband's diamond-studded watch. However, the dead man's wallet was still in his pocket and stuffed with cash.
Yeah, the thing I don't like about Jim Baker is he has two K's in his last name.
That's stupid.
Backer.
So Klein got, he gets nowhere with Dolly.
It's pretentious.
It really is.
And his attempts to catch her in a lie or contradiction all failed. And later he would say, he'd describe her as, I do my cop voice now.
Oh, okay.
She's the toughest dame I ever saw.
Now, did they search the attic?
Jim Baker is still alive, and he is 76 years old, living in Muskegon, Michigan, up there by Celine.
Did he get remarried?
He did, yes. Now, his first wife, of course, was Tammy Faye LaValle, was her maiden name, and his current spouse is Laura Graham.
I bet they're Billy Graham. I bet she's related to Billy Graham.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. They got married in 1998. Okay, Colonel, please proceed.
Okay, thank you, Timmy. So Klein gets nowhere with Dolly. Says she's the toughest dame I ever saw. When a crime lab came back to report that Fred Ashripper was done in by a 25, Klein was convinced there was something askew with her story. Again, my cop voice.
Why is that?
No burglar uses a 25 caliber gun. Why? That's a woman's gun.
So he was very a light little man, wasn't he?
Right. What an asshat.
But he was right.
Attempts to prove Dolly's guilt were as fruitless as her loins.
Or her looms.
Her looms.
I don't think I put that in
there. I had lived that one. Well, she banging Fred, Otto and Fred. Neither of them have vasectomies and ain't getting pregnant. So there was one seemingly unsurmountable problem with her having murdered her husband. How could she have locked herself from the closet from the outside?
Well, that's a fair point.
Herman Klein kept, just much like Otto, Herman Klein kept plugging away at Dolly. And the baffling case. And get on with her life she did. Once again, she moved. She told others that she wanted to get away from the awful memory of Fred's killing. She moved to a smaller home, one of those micro homes.
Oh, fucking little house.
In North Beechwood Drive.
But this time she didn't need an attic.
The year 1923 began with Otto moving into yet another attic.
She's still bound and determined. Well,
now he's hiding from the...
Is he hiding from the law?
Yeah. He no longer had to hide, but he had more reason than ever to want to hide from the world. Dolly tried to settle her late husband's estate. She hired attorney Herman Shapiro.
He's in with that Kardashian plan.
Yeah. Dolly was a sensuous woman, and the two began flirting. Then progressed to dating.
Dolly really can't keep it in her pants.
During a meeting, Dolly pulled an obviously expensive diamond-studded men's watch out of a purse. She handed it to Shapiro and said, "Here, I want you to have this. It belonged to dear Fred."
It's the one the police think is.
It's the one the police got stolen. Mm-hmm. Later, she said about getting rid of the guns that had been used in her husband's killing. She had just started a relationship with an actor, and she handed him a 25 caliber revolver.
Wait a minute. And the whole time, what? She's making that story up?
No.
She started a relationship with another actor.
With Otto still living in her attic?
Yeah.
With Otto in the attic, banging.
Is Otto not bright? Like...
What are you going to do?
Well, I mean, I can see him staying there while the husband's alive, but now the husband's dead.
Yeah, he's still in the attic.
And he's still in the attic, and she's still going out being a whore.
You got to remember, this is the Hummer Queen.
I'm wondering if it was like a BDSM type of thing.
I don't know.
Ooh, it could be. Now, this actor knew at least part of the story of Fred's violent demise, but she assured him that she had nothing to do with her husband's death, but fearing that the gun would incriminate her, even though she was innocent. Her friend indicated that he did understand and was happy to take it off her hands. He went to the La Brea tar pits and tossed it. Now, Herman Klein is still on this, and he learned that Shapiro was walking around with a diamond-studded watch. Suspicions aroused, Klein had a talk with the attorney, who obligingly reported the story of the grateful Dolly Ashripper and her generous gift. He also handed the watch to Klein, who took it to Dolly. Suddenly, Dolly developed amnesia. "I never seen it before," she insisted.
She's now, clever.
The conscientious detective traveled to Milwaukee, where he visited...
Don't look at me.
Yeah,
he visited all the good jewelry stores until he found the one that had sold the watch to Fred Ashripper.
Yeah, so Klein is on it, man.
He returned to arrest the widow Ashripper for first degree murder. Dolly was shocked
and dismayed.
She suffered her first days in jail. Her actor friend read about the arrest in the newspaper. Frightened, he went to Klein and told him the story to 25. Klein was elated. All the pieces were finally falling into place. What did you do with the gun, boy? I tossed it in the tar pits. Jesus Christ, he said bitterly. Now there's as much a chance
don't
of finding
the tar pit.
It as a snowball in hell.
Yeah, once it goes in the tar pit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Please don't throw me in the briar patch.
And you know how it's hard, how hard it is to find a snowball in hell, devil. Yeah.
Depends on where you go.
Yeah. So after several days in lockup, Dolly pleaded her lawyer, Herman Shapiro, to do her a tiny favor.
What was her favor, she was asking?
She claimed her half-brother, named Otto, who lived in an attic, who must be running short of food by now.
Well, what did she say he was?
Her brother.
Half-brother.
Oh, half-brother.
Already under Dolly's beguiling influence, Herman agreed to deliver food to the man.
That's nice of him.
When he tapped on the hidden attic door, a pale, speckled face appeared.
Jesus.
And immediately raped him.
And immediately
what? No, he didn't rape him.
Okay, he didn't rape him. But you know he's horny by then. He's used to banging Dolly every day. You don't walk up into a... I mean, the guy's feral.
Well, at this point, he is feral. But, yeah. You know, you got to remember, he doesn't have any carpet up there. He didn't have anything. He could spray shit all over the walls, floor, ceiling,
no, that's
whatever.
True.
It doesn't matter.
So anyway, he tapped on the attic door. A pale speckled face. So Tom Sawyer basically opens the door.
Yeah.
And he wolfed down the offered food. And he talked. He talked as if he had no one to speak to for years. He was, in fact, explained Otto, a sewing machine repairman who had become Dolly's sex slave.
Mm.
Otto said nothing about Fred's murder, but Herman was no fool. Without knowledge of Otto, the police case against Dolly fell apart and she was released. Herman Shapiro and Dolly were attracted to each other. But Herman insisted that before anything happened between them, Otto had to go.
Yeah.
And the dude in the attic.
You gotta get rid of the gimp.
You gotta get rid of your half-brother in the attic.
So in 1923, Otto moved out of the attic and into Canada. There he married, but eventually, in search of work, he moved himself and his new wife back to Los Angeles. In Los Angeles, he got a job as a porter in a hotel. All and all might have lived in the same town together and apart happily ever after if only Herman Shapiro could keep his big fat mouth shut.
What happened?
What's he
in 1930, 8 years after Fred's death, Herman finally realized the seductress from Milwaukee was never going to marry him.
Oh, that whore.
The light dawned after he caught Dolly in a lie. Behind his back, Dolly had started seeing her business manager.
Was he living in her attic?
No, not
or
yet.
Or the basement.
It was Mr. Ray Hendrick, a lawyer scorned, worse than a woman scorned,
mm-hmm.
a Shapiro scorned, was mad. So anyway, Herman goes directly to the police, to the 5-0, and spilled the beans. He confessed the details of his encounter with the man in the attic. Police checked the long-since-abandoned Dolly's home in Wisconsin and Los Angeles and discovered Otto's hidden abodes.
Semen all in the attic.
They shined a black
and
light.
And his chamber pot.
Yeah. And the veil was stripped from their eyes as well. The veil fell from their eyes. Just like if you send the colonel $14.95 a month,
oh my God.
The veil will be lifted from your eyes and you'll see the light. You'll see the truth.
Sin.
So anyway, Dolly's life quickly unraveled.
Can I be your Tammy Faye, though?
You can be. Little more makeup.
A lot more makeup, yeah.
Otto was arrested and he talked. The prosecutors were in stitches. They was laughing. They fitted Dolly for a pair of handcuffs. You get very creative here, Timmy.
Thank you, girl.
Otto was convicted of manslaughter.
It's more like poetry.
Oh. But since the statute of limitations for manslaughter was 8 years, which had just run out, Otto was immediately released after his conviction. He then faded from history. Dolly's trial ended in a well-hung jury.
Well, of course it did.
The majority favoring her acquittal.
The majority.
She was never recharged. Ugh. Dolly did not remarry until 1961 at the age of 75. Her new husband was a long-term business manager, Bert Hendrick. She supported herself by doing novelty acts at strip clubs.
She did not.
Yeah, she was the first one, strangely, to do the golf ball trick to me. She used
That's
to
not true.
Shoot golf balls into shot glasses
That's from not across the
room. Okay, I'm making that up too. But Dolly died just 2 weeks after the ceremony.
So she got married a second time, but she died 2 weeks after.
Well, she was 75, yeah.
Yeah.
Not much is known what happened to Otto there. He moved to Canada and eventually married a woman named Matilda. So, and
that's not a very sexy name.
Well, neither is
she
Otto.
Could be hot. But
fair point.
Once again, he plugged along.
Okay.
He was plugging Matilda, and he plugged along as a porter or janitor, dashing off the occasional short story and seeing it published. While with his gift for total devotion to a woman, it is not unreasonable to suspect that this marriage to Matilda was a happy one. It was certainly superior to his relationship with Dolly, ass raper, in that he had no third party being wronged. The home in which Fred Ostrich died still stands. No longer a single-family residence, it's an apartment building with 9 small units. Dolly would not be pleased with the small units.
No,
and as we know about the devil, she's not pleased with small units.
Do we know that about me?
Well, you've gone.
I wrote that. It's some irony in it, and you read it. You screwed it up. Read it again slowly.
No longer a single-family residence. It's now an apartment building with 9 small units.
With attics?
One of them is in the attic.
See? Nice.
So tell us how you feel about small units, devil. Because you went on for 20 minutes about it. You wanted the people to die, shoot themselves. First of all, let me say, the history dweebs, her views are her own. We do not condone suicide. So if you're living in a micro house, please don't take the devil's advice and shoot yourself.
Okay? No, we love people in micro house.
What if they have a micro penis?
Well, that's up to them. That's up to them. That's all I can say. I mean,
well, you know, they don't bother anyone.
No, they ain't bothering nobody.
Yeah.
I mean, these people living in these tiny little houses trying to make the world a better place, what she do? Hate them.
Mm.
She hates
full
them.
Of hate.
You
do.
Know why? Because anybody trying to make the world a better place, she hate them, Timmy.
I do. No, I don't hate all those people, but I do hate those people. Because they're just so smug. Like, they're just better than everybody. I hate them.
So, Brandy, what do you think about the man in the attic, Otto Sandhuber?
I feel so sad for Otto. Poor Otto.
Wait, how about Fred?
Well, no, I don't feel bad for Fred, because clearly Fred is stupid.
Fred pretty much had it coming.
But I feel bad for Otto. Although Otto, it could arguably be said that Otto had successful relationships.
He did?
He did.
He's very loyal.
This is disturbing to me,
so
because...
So is an Irish setter.
I bought the other night, and it's only me, Logan, and Renee at the house. I bought the other night a pack of Eskimo pies.
Try a leg of lamb.
Eskimo pies, and not the cheap Eskimo pies, but the good Klondike bars.
What would you do for a Klondike bar?
Six of them.
They're gone, aren't they?
In 2 days, 4 of them disappeared.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Logan don't like Klondike bars.
Have you checked your attic?
I have not checked my attic.
Or you should check and see if maybe a daughter has moved in there somewhere. Unbeknownst
to me, yeah, I probably got family.
Colonel, what is your thoughts on Dolly and her lover Otto Sandhuber, the man in the attic?
I think they could have got away with it if it weren't for those meddling kids and that stupid little dog.
Yeah, Otto, screw you over every time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, Brandy, where can people find us?
They can find us on Facebook.
Yeah, we have 2 pages. We have History Dweebs, the podcast page. That's an interesting group, a fun group, so join us. And then we have History Dweebs, the Facebook page, and that's just a bunch of history stuff that we post there, interesting stuff. Where else?
They can find us on Twitter.
At History Dweebs 1.
They can find us on iTunes.
Please leave us a review.
Stitcher.
Mm-hmm.
Libsyn.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We're all over the place.
And on the National Geographic channel.
Wild Kingdom.
Cincinnati, it's channel 46. We're 2:00 in the morning on Tuesdays.
They cannot find us in tiny houses.
What do they show?
Huh?
Love grows big in tiny houses or some shit, which is a lie. That's fucked up.
You know, here's the thing about tiny houses. You can't have a dog because, I don't know about you.
These people have dogs. They have, like, mastiff dogs.
But once a dog farts...
Oh, it's over.
You got to leave the room.
It's over.
You got to leave. Not no that room, room but any accompanying room.
Yeah, there's no room.
I saw this documentary or news article one time where these people always want to live in Manhattan. And, of course, it's very expensive in Manhattan. But they were able to buy this micro apartment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think it was like then, this was probably 10 years ago, for like $150,000.
Mm-hmm.
And they could sit, they had two cats. And they could sit on the toilet and cook at the same time. They could just reach out, and the bathroom was right mm-hmm. next to the stove. They could sit on the toilet and then
that does
cook.
Not seem hygienic to me.
Well, or appetizing.
It seems like some E. coli.
I didn't say they did. I just say they could. It was that tiny. But they were living in downtown, they lived in Midtown.
Yeah, that's sad.
Okay, any final thoughts before we wrap this show up?
I'm good.
You never know what's in your attic.
Okay. Yeah. So we'll get ready to...
And we appreciate all the donations. We do have a Patreon account that is set up. If you would like to make any donations to help us update our equipment and for other expenses that we are incurring.
We might buy a leg of lamb.
We might buy a leg of lamb. We might.
All right. We'll see y'all next time on History Tweet.
Good day.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.